Hey, KU fans, welcome back to the Spotcasters. I'm Matt Tate, and I'm joined by Tom Keegan, a little more than 24 hours removed from KU Basketball Media Day, and we were up there with our whole crew. We had a couple interns there. We had Nick Krug doing his photography thing, Bobby Nightingale with some video, and you know, all kinds of interviews. It was a great day. Great to get the opportunity to talk to all those guys for a little bit of extended time.
And we'll be dropping the stories in the coming days.
Leading up for the next few weeks as we trudge toward November 1st and the first exhibition game of the season. But Tom, first general thoughts about Media Day, and you know, it's not the most exciting event really, but there's a lot of information, a lot of good quotes and nuggets and stories that come out of it, and that was certainly the case yesterday.
Well, my first impression is a lot of smart guys, a lot of unselfish guys. When you go chair to chair, you see, wow, that's a smart guy.
Uh-huh.
Josh Jackson's a smart guy. Devontae Graham, we know, is a smart guy. Azubuike's a smart guy. Landon Lucas, smart
Incredibly
guy.
Smart.
Yeah. I mean, he knows a bunch of languages and all that. And he's just a smart player, too. And so I think Bill Self will be able to bring them along at a fast pace.
It's going
to
be cool with that. You know, sometimes that doesn't apply. I mean, being cultured or book smart or whatever doesn't always apply to the basketball court. I don't think that's exactly what you're saying, but
yeah.
But it will be interesting to see if that allows him to push more buttons and do more things and challenge these guys intellectually to be different on the court.
In-depth allows you to do all those things, too.
No doubt. Yeah, and I think he will. That's the hint that I get, certainly, and it's not any great analysis or deep read by me. It's very obvious that he's looking forward to the flexibility and versatility that this lineup, this roster creates, and that's everything from four-guard lineups that he talked a lot about, that I wrote about yesterday, to shuffling guys in and out and resting different and playing different.
You know, in past years, he'd talk about we could go really big at times, and he'd rattle off the names.
Yeah.
And he never really did it.
Right.
Because
trust.
But I think when you're going small, it's a lot easier to go small and trust small than it is to go in the other direction.
Sure.
Because of
defense.
Quickness advantages you have.
Yeah.
And you can exploit more matchups when you've got quicker guys. And look, Josh Jackson, if he were the four, not a traditional four, but whatever they decide to go with when they have four guards.
Yeah.
Imagine how many offensive rebounds he'll get, as quick off the floor as he is.
Yeah, and I mean,
as determined, as driven as he is.
That's the thing. Svi and Josh Jackson are both 6'8", so if they're two of the four in that small guard lineup or four guard lineup, then that gives you the ability, or at least the chance, to survive defensively, because those guys are long and tall, and they can help on the glass, and maybe they can guard guys that are their size, even if they're stronger or bigger. What it does on the other end, though, is absolute advantage.
Matchup nightmare.
I mean, it's you know, so you juggle that. I think is what you give up a little bit defensively worth the advantage that you get offensively. And I think the question, or the answer to that question, is 100% yes.
And what you gain defensively is you'll get more deflections, more steals, that kind of stuff. When
transition.
You have a quicker lineup,
right, leads to easier points on the other end. So I think, you know, I've seen a lot of people on the message boards and on Twitter and stuff, you know, kind of a little bit skeptical about if Self really going to do this four-guard thing. And I don't think there's any question about it.
I think he will.
I think he will a lot.
Yeah, and they're probably skeptical because in the past he'd talk about, well, Marcus will play the three.
Right.
Never did, really.
Right.
And, you know, that kind of stuff. But when you're going the other direction, it's easier to do.
Yeah, I think so. I put a blog up today. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out. It's basically a look at those four positions that Josh Jackson could play. He said he's been told already that he would play probably four positions at one point this year. That includes point guard, which is interesting.
He's a good ball handler, a driver.
Right.
I mean, he can break down defense.
He said in practice he's already brought the ball up the floor a lot. And that's, you know, if he's the point guard, that's interesting because you probably have Frank and Devontae on the bench then. And so, anyway, that's what the blog looks at. It looks at what Jackson at the 1, 2, 3, and 4 would look like with this team built around him, and it gets into that a little bit. It's very, very cool thought, very cool to have one guy give you that much versatility. I mean, that's what it is. You know, the other guys are a part of this, but that's one guy that gives you that much crazy luxury versatility.
Yeah, and whether he's 6'7 or 6'8, it doesn't really matter.
No.
But And defensively, he can do that too. Probably some point guards you wouldn't want him guarding, but there are probably some he could.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's a great point.
And he'll go against Malik Newman at times in practice. Yep. Malik Newman's got some quickness, a 6'3 guy.
Yeah.
He's one guy I've not had a chance to talk to yet, so I don't know what he's like as a guy.
Entertaining. Fun to talk to. Good personality. Lots of energy and just... You know, positivity. The guy's happy to be here. He's thrilled to be here, and it's very clear to me that he's already very tight with his team. That he's fit in well to what these guys do, and I don't get the sense from him at all that he's anything other than excited about the opportunity to sit out this season. Yeah, of course you'd want to play. Anybody would. Mm-hmm. But reality is what it is, and he's not stupid. He knows that. So,
and think of all the different types of players he'll be guarding and guarded by, and how many places in the country could you have that good of a laboratory for a developing young player who's not going to get to play in games? I mean, he'll be guarded by Frank Mason, Devontae Graham, Josh Jackson, Svi. And, and he'll be guarding those guys in practice.
Right.
Gerald Vick.
It's crazy. Yeah, it really is.
What a range of length and quickness. And
that's the thing. I mean, whichever lineup Self ends up going with most often, and you know, he's going to start the lineup that we all know he's going to start with Mason, Graham, and Jackson, and then Bragg and Lucas. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Right.
I think even he's conceded that. He's not hiding anything there. But... So that's the group that you have to figure will play the most minutes together at this season.
The bat, a way better rebounding team than last year.
Yeah, right. With Bragg in there and Jackson in there for sure.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you've written a lot about it in the past, about Mason and his ability on the glass. You even invented the stat, defensive rebounds per inch. Was that what it was?
For one column, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if you tracked it after that, but whatever Mason's total is divided by his inches, I guess, is what it is. But Graham and Mason are both good on the glass. I think Mason's been a beast and always been there, but I think Graham has elevated his game in that department because of watching Frank Mason do it.
Sure, and battling with him in practice and battling as a teammate in games with him.
Yeah, so it's very cool, but the one thing, and you kind of mentioned this, you know, smart guys, what was the other?
Unselfish.
I agree. I mean, these guys, everyone I talk to at Media Day, there's not a hint of ego. There's not a hint of me. It's we're here to win, and that's all that matters. And that's really cool. It's a slight departure from what we've seen, too. I mean, with guys like Brandon Green, you had ego there. No question about it. I mean, mm-hmm. Brandon Green was smart enough to say the right things, that it's about the victories and stuff like that. But saying that and projecting it, two different things. And he didn't do very well at the latter. So, Dwayne Selden, I think, for the most part, was a team guy and wanted to win only. But he showed moments of needing to take over and needing to be the guy, and that's gone now. I think you take those two guys off and you have a bunch of guys that are absolutely willing to sell out, willing to do whatever they have to do. If that means they sit, they sit. If that means they play, they play. If that means they play out of position to get an advantage, they play out of position. Whatever it is, this group, especially the young guys, that it's really cool how they seem bought into that concept. And not just saying it, but actually backing it up with substance.
And then you look at Devontae Graham late in the season, a couple of games he had, outplays Buddy Hield at both ends of the floor in Norman, scores 27 or 28 points, and matches that total in the Big 12 title game against West Virginia.
Right.
Wow.
Good
and
finish.
And he was also the best player in the final game of the year against Villanova.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I asked Svi about Devontae Graham's jump, you know, because from freshman to sophomore year, huge jump, of course. I mean, he was good as a freshman. That's there's no doubt about that, but he was rock solid last year. So I asked Svi, can he get better? Can he take another jump? And he said, "Oh, definitely." I mean, he didn't hesitate to say, "Oh, definitely." And I think part of that's confidence, which he has an abundance of. The other part of that is just maturity. I mean, this is a guy, talk about coming into your own, feeling more comfortable as a big-time college basketball player.
And they may need him to score more at times because Perry Ellis is gone, and he's perfectly capable of that. His ego it's not a need,
no.
But it's a when the need arises, he can certainly fill it.
More than willing. Right. Yeah. Loves that moment. Loves having the pressure and the.
I don't think it's crazy that he could be the player of the year in college basketball.
You've said that, and I don't think it's crazy. It's you know, you'd get good odds on it if you were betting on it in Vegas, right?
Well, yeah, because Vegas didn't even list him. Didn't even have it on the board. Frank Mason was 50-1, and Josh Jackson was 14-1. I think I would, if they were even odds, I'd rather take Devontae Graham than anyone on the team.
Yeah, it's hard to say over Jackson just because
we haven't seen him in games. But
yeah, I mean, you think about what Self has said. I mean, the thing that is so cool about Josh Jackson, who every time I've talked to him now is just a delight. I mean, he's just a very
grounded,
down to earth, nice right? Guy. Yeah, he really is. He's and he looks mature. He looks like a beast. He looks like a grown man, but he's got young kid in him still, and he carries both parts of that very well. I mean, he's going to be fun to watch. But when you hear Self talk about as good as advertised, that's incredible. I mean, number one, that's one week in when Self's notorious for saying freshmen are terrible in the first week, first couple weeks. They don't know what they're doing. They're learning. They're learning slowly. Whatever. For this guy to be as good as advertised already is an awesome thing for Kansas fans and tells you exactly what kind of player he is. You know, that alpha dog talk, that's become such a cliche. Everybody likes to say that, not just Self and not just with every new player he gets, but throughout the country, people like saying that and maybe have for years, but it seems like it's more prominent now. But that part I'm excited to see because we haven't seen that yet. You know, he didn't show that at late night. He didn't show that in the scrimmages. Every bit of the talk is about how competitive this guy is. Right. And I think when the games
count. And
you
didn't have that with Wiggins. You had it if he got ticked off about something.
Right,
showed that.
Right. Yeah, but it wasn't a natural thing, right? I agree. Mm-hmm. He didn't bring it to the table himself, and Self talked a lot about it then too. But as I pointed out in a column earlier this week, I think Self was trying to will that to be reality. I think the more he talked about Wiggins being that alpha dog, the more he was trying to convince Andrew to do that,
and
just never really took. But didn't need to. The guy was such a freak athlete that he got everything he needed.
He could get beaten with his feet sometimes, and his arms were so long he'd recover and deflect a pass or steal it or block a shot.
Yeah. So as good as advertised, we've now talked to him in person a bunch of times, or a few times anyway. The only thing left with Josh Jackson is for us to see him play an opponent and show this competitive fire, this alpha dog mentality, this just, you know, badass, basically, that he probably can be.
And it was interesting, Self said they made one change with his shot.
Yeah, loved
didn't,
all
didn't
that.
Say what it was, but said the last thing he needs is another coach trying to overhaul his shot, because it's an unconventional delivery, unconventional mechanics, but when it leaves his hand, Self said he likes the way it leaves his hand.
Yeah, that's a strong statement. I like his shot. I mean, everybody, fans, other media types, anybody, everybody's just critiqued it from the minute we saw
it. Is he trying to will that to be the case, or does he want Jackson to read that to help his confidence?
I think it's a confidence thing. I that's what I felt. I felt like, and it was also interesting because he did say in explaining that whole concept about his Jackson's shot, he said, we got one voice talking to him about it. And that's...
I'm sure it's Curtis Townsend.
Probably, right? My first thought was to Joe Dooley. Wasn't Dooley a great shooter and shooting coach? I mean, he's no longer here, obviously, but...
And who was the player I was talking to? Oh, LeGerald Vick said that Townsend has done great things. Tucking his elbow, that's a basic thing, but to be able to do it in a way... That's just like if you get a golf instruction. Anybody could say, well, you need to follow through. Well, the way you learn to follow through with your golf swing is not by thinking about following through. It's doing something in a different spot in your swing, and that's probably what Curtis Townsend did that enables Vic to tuck his elbow and his jumper looks
really good. It does. And you know, these guys are all so long and athletic that it makes sense that those limbs kind of flail about. I mean, especially in the AAU circuit and pickup ball, I mean, you're just trying to score. It doesn't matter. You know, nobody's judging your technique when you're playing in those types of games. So it makes sense that the elbow comes up a little bit. What do you care if the ball goes in? That's all that matters. But yeah, Townsend bringing it back, and that's probably who it is. You're right. It's probably, but I think that one voice is so important. It's not five different coaches telling him. It's not, you know, Jarence Howard on a Tuesday telling him what to do, and then Self on a Saturday telling him what to do, and then Townsend on a Tuesday or a Wednesday and Thursday telling him what to do. It's, you got one guy. He's going to tell you. He's going to remind you. And I'm sure it's very simple. Like you said, tuck and elbow. It's not like they're sitting there having, you know, study hall about the jump shot. It's hey Josh, you forgot to tuck your elbow there. Okay, thanks. Boom, done. So, I mean, it's an intriguing team. One of the most interesting teams that I can remember, because there's so much that we know about them already. There's so many things. Starting lineup, really the rotation is almost set already. I mean, you've got the five guards, and then at the forward spots you have Lucas and Bragg and Azubuike.
And then it's a battle between Lightfoot
and Colby.
And Colby for who will get the fourth most minutes there. I mean, if I had to take a wild stab without seeing either play in an official game for Kansas, I'd have to say Mitch Lightfoot end of the year will have more minutes.
I would too. I like his demeanor. I like his
athleticism.
Ability. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And you know, Colby's disadvantage right now is mental, mostly. I mean, because this is a guy that's played college basketball, so he should have an advantage in that department over a true freshman. But
coming off the injury, you mean?
Yeah, mental, mental
to
part.
Trust his knee.
Exactly right, and trust not only his knee and whether he's healthy or not, but also just you're at Kansas now. I mean, it's a different world than in being at Ole Miss, whichever way I should say it. You know, but you.
It was Mississippi State, actually.
No, that was.
Wasn't
Newman.
It the same school as Newman?
No.
No?
Newman was Mississippi State. Ole Miss was Colby. So
I was thinking Colby was Mississippi State.
Yeah, that would have been cool if they had been teammates for a year.
Well, they wouldn't have been teammates. So.
Oh, yeah, because he was gone last year. Right. But, no, yeah, it's Ole Miss and Mississippi State. So, but you know, that's definitely an advantage. But if you're not fully comfortable mentally, you think too much, you doubt yourself, and that allows an opportunity for a freshman to pass you, for sure. Especially a guy like Mitch Lightfoot, who seems to not have a care in the world. I mean, he's got nothing to lose this year. He's not. There's going to be no pressure on him. There's going to be no. I like Lightfoot to be already, in a lot of ways, close to what Hunter Mickelson was as a senior. Same type of build, long, athletic. You know, he's probably more athletic than Mickelson in some ways. Better leaper for sure. So, you know, if you're starting there and then you're here for 4 years, it's
not the shot blocker that Mickelson.
No, definitely not. But yeah, so there's your rotation is
yeah, and
largely,
you know, it doesn't
set.
Have to be a. I mean, it's not like when you're trying to decide who your quarterback is and you got to stay with one guy.
Right.
It's could be a fluid thing. And you use that as a motivational carrot, too.
Right.
You want to be the fourth big man or do you want to be the fifth big man? Because some nights we're only going to play four.
Absolutely. And for all those guys that we mentioned, there's always that game for one of those guys or all of those guys to have it's their night. You know, Svi's done that a lot. And Mickelson did, too. You know, it's a weird thing. You never saw it coming, but boy, those, you know, 8 points and seven rebounds were huge in that road win at Oklahoma State or whatever it is, you know. So those opportunities will come even if they're not regulars in the rotation, whether it's foul trouble or just a feel, you know, better performance in practice like you're talking about. There are spots for even the deepest guys on that rotation to get in and factor into this team and this season. Last thing before we get out of here, you know, Josh Jackson said in an article with USA Today that Kansas is trying to go in undefeated. That the verbiage is important because that's exactly what he said, trying to go undefeated. Not we will, I'm not predicting it, I'm not saying 40-0 is coming or anything like that, but he just matter-of-factly pointed out that we're trying to go undefeated. Self has no issue with that. Jackson didn't seem to be too concerned or overwhelmed by what he said. Impossible to even consider, though, isn't it? I mean, this team's going to be very good. They're a top three team entering the season. But there's no way that that's even a realistic possibility. Not that he's, you know, being criticized for saying it. It's just the Big 12 is down, and Kansas is really good. I mean,
yeah, and Duke is ranked number one in the nation.
Yeah,
that comes 4 days after Hawaii.
Right.
So you say to yourself, if they beat Indiana,
right?
And they beat Duke.
Then you really start talking, don't you?
Yeah, but almost every year with every team, there's going to be that odd night in Lubbock or that odd night in Stillwater. Last year was the place, and Stillwater in other years.
Fort Worth, TCU.
Fort Worth.
A terrible TCU team.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So the odds are, you know, way, way against it, but it would be fun if it went on for a while.
The Big 12, let's talk about that for a quick minute. Of course, he has every reason in the world to say the Big 12 is good and great. I think he even said great. He said, you know, we lost a lot on paper. A lot of the contenders lost a lot of talented players, but the league will be great again this year. You buy it?
I don't.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I think it'll be one of the weakest Big 12 seasons that we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, but there's always the possibility that team could come and surprise, like the Bruce Weber K-State team that ended up tying Kansas, even though it lost both regular season games.
And a tournament game.
And a tournament game, yeah, I got swept in three.
Yeah.
But
still,
I mean, wow, what a season for them. How do you predict that?
Good point.
I mean, and could these, Texas has a lot of really quick players, could they become really quick, good basketball players this year?
Right.
You never know.
A couple of McDonald's All-Americans, I mean, some talent there.
And Kerwin Roach is an unbelievable athlete.
Right, right, yeah. Self was on a podcast with CBS Sports' John Rothstein recently and was asked for a sleeper in the
Our old intern at ESPN Radio.
There you go, yeah. He gave two names, and he said he didn't even really like the word sleeper for either one of these because, you know, he doesn't necessarily feel like sleeper is the right way to categorize it, but he said Texas for exactly the reasons you just did, and he said Oklahoma State with Forte and Juwan Evans in the backcourt. That's some serious talent. And then, you know, Underwood is a new head coach down there, so maybe there's some transition that comes into play. But
he's a good coach.
Maybe it's a good thing, right?
Yeah, he's a good coach.
Yeah, so
that was a great hire by them, and Kansas State lost their opportunity. He's a K-State grad and would love going there, but John Curry did not, you know, didn't go with the modern way of just canning your coach
at
the first opportunity.
A little surprise. I thought, especially for Curry.
But he hired him.
Easy. Yeah, that's true. Good point.
It's a different deal when you hire him.
That definitely is true. All right, well, last thing before we get out of here, you mentioned we've got a bunch of features coming up from some interviews we did yesterday at Media Day. So tell these guys what you're working on in the next couple of weeks regarding KU basketball, and I'll do the same, and then we'll get out of here.
Udoka Azubuike. Talked to him about dunking and...
fun.
What was his... Talked to me about his first dunk.
Cool.
I talked to Landon Lucas about rebounding and all the different ways that he gains advantages rebounding. And
nice.
Started with his father. Teaching him, his father was a basketball coach.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. I spent most of my time with Jackson, but I also got to Svi and had fun talking to him about just basically adjusting to America. And you know, I even asked him, "Are you an American now?"
Great question.
He kind of laughed. He said, "That'd be up to others to tell you. You know, I can't say that." But his English has gotten a lot better, and I think part of that is going to carry over into his junior season. I mean, the more comfortable you are as a part of this culture, the more that's going to help you play basketball at a higher level and be more confident and feel more comfortable and all those things. So that's interesting. I talked to Malik Newman just about what we talked about a little bit earlier, what he's hoping to do for this team this year, even though it won't show up in the stat book. And who else did I talk to? Devontae Graham a little bit, Carlton Bragg a little bit. Yeah, all kinds of good stuff. We had Bobby Nightingale there, too, who spent some time talking to Carlton Bragg as well. The interns got to the other guys. I don't think they got to Colby, but they got to Lightfoot. They got to, who's left? Mason, Frank Mason. So, yeah, we'll have all kinds of stuff over the next few weeks. As I said, count down to November 1st, the exhibition opener, Allen Fieldhouse against Washburn, and then Emporia State after that a few days later. 2 days before the election, and then after that it starts for real. November 1st, November 6th, our exhibitions. November 11th against Indiana in Honolulu. So it's coming fast. It's a month out, a little less. Crazy. So that's all we got for today's episode of the Spodcasters. Thanks to Tom Keegan for joining me. I'm Matt Tate. We will talk to you guys again real soon on another episode.